Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna. It's very nice to be here with you all. Hope everyone is happy in Krishna consciousness and progressing on nicely. Well, I'll be here for a week basically, and there's a cup of water there, if you just bring that. Yes, I'll be here for a week basically, and during the course of this week, of the following today and the weekdays to up to and including Friday evening, we'll be having programs here, current, here every evening, same time, and we will be doing a little seminar, interesting little seminar. The subject is Lessons from the Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the most recent incarnation of Krishna. He appeared, well, actually the anniversary was on Saturday. He appeared 521 years ago. On Saturday. And he was present on the planet for 48 years. And while he was here, he did all sorts of very amazing things. Sometimes he showed that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord, by doing very superhuman things, mystical things. Other times, even most of the time, he was teaching by speaking, but particularly teaching by his example. We call this acharya. Acha means activities in Sanskrit, and acharya means one who teaches by his activities. In other words, you watch his activities and then you see he is demonstrating in his activities, demonstrating the perfect standards for a devotee, for someone who is practicing Krishna consciousness and trying to progress in devotional service. So this is acharya. Some people speak very nicely but don't act very nicely. Some people act very nicely but somehow they don't speak. Maybe they don't speak much. Or maybe somehow they're just not into speaking and they therefore not really able to speak so nicely. But acharya means someone who speaks nicely, of course, and explains everything and about spiritual life in this way, gives good practical guidance. But at the same time, his activities are very nice demonstrations of how to do it. I remember many years ago it was sort of early to mid 80s. We were in, one of the devotee and I, Ramanuj Acharya, some of you would know him. We were in, of all places, Bloemfontein, doing some fundraising for building our temple in Durban. So, and they were having there the annual agricultural show. It's like the Bloemfontein Rand show. So there we were, and we were carrying on. And we had a stand there in one of the halls, and directly across from us was the Cancer Association. And they were promoting how you shouldn't smoke, basically. That was the essence of what they were promoting. So we got to know, we were there for a week or something like that, and you get to know the people a little. So we got to know the young man there, his young fellow in his 20s perhaps or something. And a pleasant fellow. So that we noticed that every now and then he would disappear from their stand. He would just not be there. And he'd come back a few minutes later, a little while later. So we didn't really think much of it. But one time, Ramanujacharya, the other devotee with me, he went out to visit the bathroom or something. He went outside, and sure enough, just outside the door, kind of on the side there, around the side, was this young man smoking a cigarette. Oh dear. So Ramanuja spoke to him and said, "Oh, you're the fellow from the Cancer Association. What are you doing? You shouldn't be doing this." And poor young fellow, he said, "Yes, I know. But sometimes I just can't stop." Yeah. So, of course, it's nice to teach people they shouldn't smoke. It's true, they shouldn't smoke. But to really, to be able to teach that effectively, then you should also not be doing that. Otherwise, we can just imagine if some of the other people there went to the stand, spoke with him, then saw him outside smoking a cigarette. It would be very disappointing for them, and I'm sure it would have some effect on them, their attitudes and the way they would see the subject. So, Lord Chaitanya, when he was here 500 or so years ago, he was acting as Acharya. He was teaching by speaking, explaining things nicely, but he was also teaching by demonstrating. This is how you do it. And Prabhupada, our spiritual master, one time, he was talking about this, and he said that the principle is something like at school. At school, you learn, in the early days, you learn A, B, C. So the teacher may write on the board A, B, C. And someone comes in, and they may think, "Oh, the teacher is learning A, B, C. He's practicing himself. So he's learning. But of course he's not learning, he's teaching. But sometimes, in order to teach effectively, he has to demonstrate in that way. So the children can see how it is done. What is the actual, what are the procedures? This is a very important point. And this is what Lord Chaitanya was doing so much of the time. So therefore we have titled this seminar, Lessons from the Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And in the course of this seminar, we will explain some of the pastimes. There's some very beautiful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and his devotees also, and him with his devotees in some cases, which are just very interesting as stories, as narrations of different events which occurred. But then generally there's some very important principles and points we can learn from these pastimes. So let us begin. Let us begin. And we hope by the time we come to the end, Friday night, we hope that you all, and hopefully some others will come also, we hope you'll feel a little enriched and, you know, with a little more insight into life, into yourselves, into the practice of Krishna consciousness and spiritual life in general. So, pardon me using the computer. I know the computer may not look very spiritual. Unless, of course, you look at the screen and then you'll see there's Srila Prabhupada. But here, this computer has a whole storehouse of spiritual information. You might be amazed, actually. Vast amount. The amount of information on this computer. Spiritual information. It's like a library. Right. So, yes, we will start by discussing a pastime which is related with in general, it's related with the subject, the idea of how can we get out of ignorance. How can we get out of ignorance? Spiritual ignorance. How can we get out of spiritual ignorance, get out of that type of material darkness, and come to the spiritual light? This is a very important point. Now, of course, we all know, generally, I mean, we've all been through it, that in terms of getting out of ignorance, just in ordinary everyday terms, then, we can read a book. Read a book, you can learn. Go to CNA, buy a book, learn some language in 30 days. You can study it and you'll learn. Of course, you can never learn a language in 30 days. This is a complete bluff. But anyway, they have to sell their books somehow. But you can do something like that. You can do something like that. You go buy a book, you read the book, and you'll, if you apply yourself, you'll learn something at least. You'll learn something. Why not? Or you can go to some sort of educational institution, go to school, or go to, if you're an adult, go to some special evening classes or something like that. And this way you can also learn something. But now we're talking about spiritual knowledge. How to become spiritually enlightened, not just a few spiritual facts and figures in that sense, but actually get some depth of spiritual consciousness, spiritual awareness. This is something a little beyond just like material A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, that type of mechanical idea of learning things. You just force information into your head. This goes beyond that. One will not really effectively develop spiritual knowledge or spiritual consciousness just by reading a book, particularly in a mechanical way. There's more to it. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, well, I could mention perhaps first that in Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, verse 15, Lord Krishna explains the process by which this type of enlightenment or knowledge comes. 15:15, any of you know that verse? Thank you, yes. Krishna says there, I'm situated in everyone's heart, and from me is coming knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. This is like a deeper understanding of how this type of subject is working, and particularly spiritually. How does spiritual realization come? Real spiritual awareness. Just to illustrate this point about the difference between just stuffing your head full of facts and figures and actually developing some real transcendental consciousness and awareness. There's one interesting little story to do with Srila Prabhupada, that there was one temple somewhere, I forget exactly where, it may have been Australia. There was a temple there somewhere, and they had a parrot, the temple parrot. And, you know, parrots are famous for learning to speak some things. So this parrot was living in the temple with the devotees. So naturally the parrot started learning to say some Krishna conscious things. So the parrot would say, Hare Krishna, Hari Bol, and things like this. And whenever the devotees would walk in, then the parrot, you know, the devotee might walk in deep in thought or just distracted in some way, and the parrot would say, Hari Bol! And the devotee would be reminded, oh, okay, right, yes, I must chant. Hari Bol means you must chant the name Hari. So this parrot was, the devotees felt, you know, we have a special parrot here. We have a Krishna conscious parrot. You know, he's like, he's advanced. I'm sure it was benefiting the parrot to chant like that, even though I don't think he was really aware what he was chanting. So Srila Prabhupada came once, and the parrot chanted for him, as the parrot did for everyone. And Prabhupada laughed, and the devotees expressed, oh, what a wonderful parrot, and so on. And Prabhupada acknowledged, yes, of course, that's very good. But Prabhupada said that what is his knowledge, his awareness, really? He's just, you know, repeating it like, almost like a tape recorder. It's just, you know, you switch it on and out comes the noise, but it's just a mechanical function. And Prabhupada said that what would happen if someone grabbed the parrot by the throat as if to strangle him, would the parrot think that, oh, I may die now, I should chant the holy names? No, Prabhupada said the parrot would just go squawk. Because the understanding, the realization, the real consciousness is not there. It's just some sort of mechanical function. Right. So, Krishna says that he, within the heart, he is giving knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. And particularly, that means all knowledge, actually. But particularly spiritually. Particularly knowledge of himself. This is something he keeps. And he treasures. And, you know, there's this famous saying, don't throw pearls before swine. So, I mean, anyway. We don't want to get too radical about our application of that. But, I mean, we can certainly understand the point that if people are not ready for something, some knowledge, then if you try and impose that knowledge on them, then it's just not going to help at all. They will not be able to relate. It will be irrelevant. You will have wasted your time. So Krishna guards this knowledge and realization, and he doesn't just give it to everyone. He tests a little bit to see the sincerity of a person before he gives any real revelation, generally. So, yes, so then, the question which arises is, what to do so that Krishna will feel, I want to give you some real realization, some real knowledge. What do we need to do to inspire Krishna so he feels he wants to do that? So in that regard, there are a couple of verses in Srimad Bhagavatam I wanted to read, which are addressing this point. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, verses 16, 17, and 18. Just try and listen to these, because it explains the basic principle, or at least an essential principle, as far as inspiring Krishna, getting his mercy in that form of getting some real realization and understanding. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam, then it says, Shushushro shadadanasya vasudeva kataruchi siyan mahatsevaya vipra punyatyatamishevanat. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva, Krishna. So there, see, a very important point. By serving the devotees, great service is done. By that service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Krishna. One will become attached to hearing these instructions from the Lord. One will be able to become absorbed in this. And then the next verse. Shrinvatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantaksto hyabhadrani vidunoti suritsatam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Yes. So, if we serve the devotees, Krishna becomes pleased. And when Krishna becomes pleased, Krishna becomes pleased when we serve the devotees, and the first thing he does is he gives us a taste for hearing about him, hearing his messages. And then, as we are developing a taste for hearing the transcendental messages, then Krishna becomes pleased by that. It's a very interesting back and forth situation. We serve the devotees, Krishna becomes pleased, he gives us some taste for hearing about him. As we go deeper into that, hearing about him and learning about him, he becomes pleased again. And then he reciprocates further. What is like the second installment of his reciprocation? That Krishna cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages. And then the third verse, Nashta Praeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Utamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. I hope this is not too technical for us. But for anyone who's practiced devotional service for some time, practiced Krishna consciousness for some time, they would have had this experience in their lives in clear, vivid terms. Anyone who's been involved in Krishna consciousness for some time, that if we serve the devotees, please the devotees, then we get some mercy. Krishna, within the heart, he gives us some transcendental taste for hearing about him, for serving him, for chanting his holy names, actually for Krishna consciousness in general. This is his reciprocation. Not just, you know, as some people think, if you please God, he will give you lots of money. Aha. If you please God, he will help you pass your exam. Aha. And things like this. If you please God, he will give you a new BMW. Many people think that this type of phenomena, that these are displays, if they happen, these are displays of that mercy, that special reciprocation from the Lord. But here it's being stated otherwise, that if we please the Lord, then he will give us attachment for him, taste for hearing about him, and then gradually cleanse our hearts. So this is very important. Very important to serve the devotees. This is a big subject, actually, and Well, we'll briefly go through it this evening. It's a very big subject. But there's a saying, love me, love my dog. You heard that one? No? You learned something today. Love me, love my dog. Yeah. Or sometimes you see a rich person. You know, if it were to happen that you want to get the attention of some rich, important person, you know, so you can get some favors from them. So now, if you happen to see that rich person walking in the park with his child, then how are you going to attract his attention favorably? Well, you could always give him a gift. But if he's really such a rich, powerful person, he will have so much. You give him a gift, and it's not going to mean so much because he's already got that. He may have 20 of them already, even much better than whatever you can afford to give him. But if that rich person is there in the park with his child, if you go to the child and give the child one lollipop, one sweet, it costs extremely little, and the child, if it's a little child, if the little child gets a sweet, oh, it's a great day. So the child will become very inspired, and the parent will appreciate. You made my child happy. Very good. You're a good person. I like you. So that principle applies with Krishna. How are we going to attract the attention of Krishna? He already has everything. And he's surrounded by devotees who are much more advanced than us. So how are we going to attract his attention? It's not easy. But if we can please those people who are already very dear to him, and if they then go to him and say, hey, Krishna, you know, down in P.E., Port Elizabeth, you know, there is a devotee there named Prema Manjari. And she is a very nice devotee. And we want you to accept her and give her your mercy. So those great devotees who are already so close to Krishna, so dear to Krishna, if they speak to Krishna like that, Krishna will immediately agree. Oh yes, Port Elizabeth, where is it? And he'll give his mercy. This is how the Lord works. So therefore, our idea is, we don't really try and approach Krishna directly so much, but more through the devotees. Even the principles there in Christianity, in a sort of somewhat different form, but the principle is essentially the same, that you must go to God via Jesus. Jesus is the only way. This is their slogan. So we wouldn't necessarily agree with that entirely, but the principle that we must go through someone who's really intimately connected, this principle we accept. So now in this regard, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's one very nice story. At least I always find it extremely nice, about one devotee who was present when Lord Chaitanya was present here 500 or so years ago. His name was Kalidas. Have you heard of Kalidas? Huh? Have you heard of Kalidas? No? Okay. So Kalidas, he was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya. He was a very great devotee. And he was also the uncle, one of the uncles of Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami is one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and very extremely important person in our line. And he was also very, very close to Lord Chaitanya. So there was Kalidas. At that time, Lord Chaitanya was living in Jagannath Puri. Kalidas was from Bengal. He was living up there. Now, he was a very great devotee. And there was a special thing, which was just, he was just completely into. Totally into. Was that he had heard that, well, he had heard this point, that if you serve the devotees, please the devotees, if you get the mercy and good wishes of the devotees, then you will get Krishna's mercy. So Kalidas, he took up a special program with this in mind. He took up a special program. He decided, I will get the mercy of all the devotees in Bengal. There were a lot. There was really a lot. I mean, really, really a lot. But this was his determination. And how to do that? Well, there are different points, different things he would do, but there were three things in particular. He would try to get the dust from their feet. He would try to get the remnants of their food. And he would try to get the water which had washed their feet. These three things. And all in the mood of glorifying those devotees and appreciating those devotees. So this was his program every day. His family, that family of Raghunath Das Goswami, they were an immensely wealthy family. So he didn't have to work. So what he would do every day, he would go and find devotees and try and do these things. Yeah. As a result, it's explained in the narration in Chaitanya Charitamrita. As a result of that, Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself and who was present at the time on the planet, Lord Chaitanya appreciated him so much that Lord Chaitanya gave him mercy that he never gave to anyone else. So let's just briefly explain the story. Well, there's a description of one incident. This Kalidas, he would go every day, as we said, and approach the devotees and somehow try and get their blessings and mercy and touch their feet, get some remnants of their food, and so on. So there's a description of one such incident. He went to the place of a devotee named Jadu Thakur. Jadu Thakur was a poor person. He was a very great devotee, but materially he was poor. And his family was sort of, he was a very wonderful person, but his family, other family members were a little notorious and like this, questionable characters, although he was a really wonderful person. So Kalidas approached him at his home and gave him some mangoes. And Jadutaka was very appreciative. Oh, thank you, giving me these mangoes. Very kind of you. It's a complete stranger. And then Kalidas said, well, look, I would like to ask you for one thing, though, as a reciprocation. Will you please give me the dust from your feet? And Jadutaka said, well, no. I don't want to do that. I don't think it's right. You're a very great personality, and I'm not. I'm just a common person. He was very humble, Jadutaka. So he said, it wouldn't be right. I can't do that. And then Kalidas, he was ready for such a response. So Kalidas, what he did, he recited some verses from scripture which explain about the benefit of getting the dust from the feet of the devotees on your head. And when he recited these verses, and then he said, so, therefore I ask you again, please give me some dust from your feet. And Jadutaka said, well, I know these verses, and I accept what they say. We should get the dust from the feet of the devotees. But there is one problem here, in this situation today, is that I am not really a devotee. He was a great devotee, but he felt that who am I? I'm useless. A very, very humble soul. So he said, yeah, so this, I accept this, these verses, they're all right, they're all correct, but they don't apply to me, so sorry. And Kalidas realized, okay, I'm not gonna make progress here. So he said, all right, I'll go. So then Jadutaka walked him down the little pathway to the gate, said goodbye to him, and went back down the little pathway to the house, or just a sand path, and went back into the house. And Kalidas, it was a sand path, and Jadutaka was barefooted. As soon as he got in the house, Kalidas just rolled in the dust. There were the footprints of Jadutaka, just rolled in. Then he did a very special thing. He went around the back, and he hid behind some trees. Jadutaka came out the back, sat down at the back of the house, and he and his wife ate the mangoes. And then they threw the skins and seeds in the rubbish bin. Then they went inside. And Kalidas was hiding out the back there watching. As soon as they went inside, he came running out, dived into the rubbish bin, and got those skins and seeds and sucked them, whatever juice or anything was left, because he wanted to get the remnants. So like this was his program in general. Quite an extraordinary program. But in this way, he got the mercy of all the devotees in Bengal. And Lord Chaitanya appreciated this so much that he had such faith in the devotees, such appreciation for the devotees, was practically unlimited. So then, a little later, during the time of the Rath Yatra festival in Jagannath Puri, Kalidas went with the other devotees, because there was a whole group. They would go to Jagannath Puri every year for the Rath Yatra and to be with Lord Chaitanya. They would go from Bengal. So he went with them, and he arrived there in Jagannath Puri. So there he was. And Lord Chaitanya, every day he would go and visit the Jagannath temple. And at the entrance of the Jagannath temple, there are some stairs leading up to it. Big, very broad stairway going up into the grounds through the walls of the temple. So as Lord Chaitanya was about to go up the stairs, when he was just at the bottom, there's like a ditch or something there, and the people, before they go in, they wash their feet. They go in barefooted, they wash their feet before they enter. So Lord Chaitanya would do that. And one of his assistants would have some sort of container with water and would pour it over Lord Chaitanya's feet. He would hold his feet out over that ditch and they'd wash his feet. And Lord Chaitanya gave strict instructions to his assistants. No one must get that water. Just let it go into the ditch and go. So they would stop people. If people would come and try and do that, they would stop people. It's a bit of a long story. We'll just sort of abbreviate it a little. So, but now Kalidas, when he was there, Kalidas, Lord Chaitanya would come there and have his feet washed. Kalidas would just jump in somehow. He'd get through and the crowd, because Lord Chaitanya, there'd always be a whole crowd with him. But Kalidas would come through and he'd be there and he would catch the water as it fell from Lord Chaitanya's feet and drink it. So it's described there how he did that one time. He jumped in, got some water one time and drank it. Then again, a second time and drank it. And a third time and drank it. And a fourth time, but Lord Chaitanya stopped him and said, Kalidas, that's enough. I have fulfilled your desire as much as is possible. So he stopped him, having allowed him three times. But otherwise, Lord Chaitanya was very strict about that. Very strict. He would not allow that for anyone. But Kalidas he allowed. And then it's also described there in Chaitanya Charitamrita how Lord Chaitanya would have lunch. And when he would finish, there would be some food left over, which was his remnants. And he would allow certain devotees to have his remnants. But when Kalidas was there, every day, Lord Chaitanya told Govinda, who was his main assistant, he would tell Govinda, all right, give some to Kalidas. Every day. And Kalidas was there for like three months. So in this way, Kalidas got more mercy from Lord Chaitanya than anyone ever got. He got the supreme mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So we should learn from this. This is a lesson for us. We should learn from this. That we should appreciate the devotees, try and serve the devotees. And if we do like that, then we will get the special mercy of the Lord. This is one of the secrets of Krishna consciousness. Special secret. How to progress. And at the end of that description, at the end of that chapter, there's a series of verses which is explaining the principle here. And I will read that series of verses. So please listen. Vaishnavera Shesha Bhaksha Nera Eteka Mahima Kalidase Payola Prabhura Kripa Simha. Taking the remnants of the food of Vaishnavas is so valuable that it induced Lord Chaitanya to offer Kalidas His supreme mercy. Tate Vaishnavera Juta Kauchadi Grinalaja Yaha Hoite Paiva Nija Vanchita Sabakaja. Therefore, giving up hatred and hesitation, try to eat the remnants of the food of Vaishnavs, for you will thus be able to achieve your desired goal of life. Krishnera Uchishta Haya Mahaprasada Nama Bhakti Shesha Hayale Maha Mahaprasada Kyana. The remnants of food offered to Lord Krishna are called Mahaprasadam. After the same Mahaprasadam has been taken by a devotee, the remnants are elevated to Maha Mahaprasadam. Bhakta Pada Duli Ara Bhakta Pada Jao Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha Tina Mahabal. The dust of the feet of a devotee, the water that has washed the feet of a devotee, and the remnants of food left by a devotee are three very powerful substances. A Tina Seva Haite Krishna Prema Haya Puna Puna Sarva Shastre Pukariya Kaya. By rendering service to these three, one attains the supreme goal of ecstatic love for Krishna. In all the revealed scriptures, this is loudly declared again and again. Tate bara bara kahi shuna bhaktagana vishvas kariya kara e tina sevana. Therefore, my dear devotees, please hear from me, for I insist again and again. Please keep faith in these three and render service to them without hesitation. Tina haite Krishna nama premira ulas Krishnira prasada tate sakshi kalidas. From these three, one achieves the highest goal of life, ecstatic love of Krishna. This is the greatest mercy of Lord Krishna. The evidence is Kalidas himself. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So what do you think? Sound like a good idea? I think it's an excellent idea. So let's try and learn this lesson. Carry it in our hearts. And work on developing the principle within our hearts and within our lives. Is that okay? You'll do that? Okay. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions?